B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia and points up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Really excited right now to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV and talk with Ian Harditz. MB Fantasy Life, the Fantasy Life website, a true fantasy football expert. Ian, thank you for making time for us, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys having me on, man. I've actually started off my morning by trading for Bill Crosby-Mara on one of my dynasties.
Let's go.
All right.
So you're buying Bill, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I had someone offer me just, you know, I don't have to send a late third-round pick in a future draft. So at that price, man, I am down there for it. But, hey, end of the day, certainly seems like you guys and the entire beat have sent out plenty of smoke to the fire that he could be the next big thing. Sure, seems like Brian Robinson would still be in town if the team wasn't thinking the same. So not going to get too carried away. I've been in some drafts where I've seen him go round five. Maybe not quite the price for me. But once you do get into that RB3 range, the Tyrann Tracy's of the world, some of these Steelers running backs, I think that's a nice spot for him.
Yeah, for sure. As far as from a fantasy perspective, you know, I think Washington had some real questions during the Terry McLaurin holdout, but now that's settled. How do you feel about the Commanders' offense just from a fantasy perspective, not even wins and losses?
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel fantastic about it. For all the concerns that we had about the Cliff Kingsbury system and the lack of, you know, moving the receivers around and all the RPOs, well, it turns out when you got Jaden Daniels running it, good things are going to happen. So real-life fantasy, again, I don't think you need more than a few extra fingers on that second hand to count the number of units that you would rather be involved with. So really just don't have much of a history of high-volume dual-threat quarterbacks like Daniels busting in fantasy. So even a potential slight decrease in the passing production department, she should still be fine in fantasy land. But even then, guys, I mean, Zach Ertz had 16 targets in the NFC Championship game last year. All due respect to old man Ertz, you know, he was the tight end 10 in his own right. But really adding Deebo Samuel there, if he can be even 90% of that guy we saw in San Fran, could help open up those underneath fields. So really, again, happy they got something done with Terry McLaurin. Obviously would have been a big hole in the outside without him. So as things stand, guys, again, you know, maybe not quite the Bengals in terms of being the league's most fantasy-friendly offense, in my opinion, but they are certainly up there.
Are there any other players other than like a Terry McLaurin or Jaden Daniels that you're on the Commanders that you think you'll look at?
Yeah, again, I think Deebo Samuel right now is one of these guys being priced a little bit closer to his floor than his ceiling, particularly with the run out and the way things have happened. There are a lot of available targets in that offense, given the departures of guys like Diami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, and among others. So also, when you do remove Brian Robinson from the equation, it makes me a little bit more optimistic that we could see Deebo get back into more of that running back role that obviously he did such great things with in San Fran. So I know, last year wasn't pretty, but this dude was hospitalized for 2 games around week 6 with a really bad case of pneumonia. Also was playing through some other injuries. So when you do look at the before and after splits, Deebo really was usually his old former baller self during the first month and a half or so of the season. So I'd say Deebo, again, around that wide receiver 3, you know, high-end wide receiver 4 range is very much in play. And in addition to Bill Crosby Merritt, man, I don't want to sleep on Austin Eckler. They were willing to lean on him for 70% plus snaps in multiple games when Brian Robinson was sidelined. And as much as Eckler, okay, isn't going to be this 20 carry per game guy or anything, he never was in Los Angeles, even when he was breaking enough fantasy football, putting up legit RB1 overall season. So he's one of these guys priced really alongside the Tyler Allgeiers, the Trey Bensons, these true handcuffs of the world, where at the end of the day, we could be looking at a weekly workload consisting of something around 12 to 15 combined carries and targets. You can do a lot worse than, again, the double-digit rounds of his best, particularly if you spent the earlier rounds loading up a wide receiver.
Yeah, man, Eckler, they didn't play him at all in preseason, but when we've seen him at camp, he looks, I mean, that dude keeps himself in elite shape, and he looks, you know, explosive. Like, his game looks to be all the way there. The head injuries are a concern, but, like, I mean, if you look at his game logs last year, like the first 6-8 weeks of the season, if you have, like, a deeper league with a flex position, like, he could help you. Talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give Ian a follow at iHarditz, iHARTITZ. A ton of good information on this Twitter profile. I'm going to hit that button right now. Let's zoom out from the Commanders. I feel like considering the year Saquon had last year, and I know there's questions about the usage, but, like, is there a definitive number one pick if you're in a standard league? Maybe it's a half-point PPR, you know, nothing crazy, not like four receiver starts, just like kind of a regular home league. Do you have a consensus number one pick, or is it more like a bunch of good guys at the top?
I do think Ja'Marr Chase deserves the benefit of the doubt, because really with any wide receiver, we're all kind of trying to evaluate them on some way, shape, or form the same four factors. How talented are they? What's their sort of volume ceiling? How good is their quarterback? And then do we have any age or injury concerns? And again, he just passes really each one of those tests with flying colors. So at running back, it's a situation where, yeah, Saquon, everything he did last year was amazing. That said, you're coming off a season where, including the playoffs, there were 480 touches. And as great as that year was, we did still see at least somewhat of a suppressed ceiling with, again, Jalen Hurts taking every single touchdown once they get down to the one-yard line. Bijan Robinson is a guy where the Falcons' offensive line has already lost multiple key guys from last year. And, you know, he's not up in the, you know, age department the same way Saquon is. But that said, 365 touches in his own right. It's a situation where, again, these running backs, it is tough for them to piece together multiple big-time volume seasons like that. And then Jahmyr Gibbs very well may be the best running back in the NFL, but he does have, you know, his friendly thunder, what are they calling them, knuckles, I guess, is the Sonic Knuckles thing going on in Detroit. David Montgomery obviously going to be plenty involved as well. So again, at top of the draft, we're talking about top five overall players. It's not like you can go too wrong at the end of the day. Fantasy football is supposed to be fun, but Ja'Marr Chase for me just really has less questions than anyone.
So shy away from the running backs that basically have a sidekick that they'd like to put in once they get down inside the five-yard line, or the quarterback that is always running quarterback sneak.
Yeah, right. I mean, it is a situation where, dude, and it is crazy how much we see it in Philly and then in Buffalo, because I was looking at just fantasy points these quarterbacks get on carries inside the five-yard line, which basically more times than not are these QB sneaks. I mean, these last 2 years, Hurts has over 140. Josh Allen has about 98, and no other quarterback is even within 50 points of that. So It really is a difference in these dual threat guys. And, you know, Jaden was one of these dudes that was a little bit in between the Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts versus the Lamar Jacksons of the world, who really don't get any. But I would just stress that, again, those running backs in Philly and Buffalo going to have a little bit tougher time around the goal line than, say, your Derrick Henrys and perhaps, you know, Bill Crosby Merritt of the world.
A question for me is, obviously this Micah Parsons trade is the biggest thing in the NFL right now. What, if any, fantasy impact does that make? I mean, maybe the Green Bay defense is a little better, but that's pretty far down the list. Does that impact CeeDee Lamb? Like, does that make any impact on Dak or George Pickens, like folks that people are excited for from a fantasy perspective in Dallas?
Yeah, I think the latter guy you mentioned, George Pickens, is the big-time winner here. And he was someone we were already pretty high on over at Fantasy Life, which, by the way, check out for all your ranking and projection needs ahead of draft weekend. Good luck to everybody there. But, yeah, honestly, I mean, I was already starting to run with the comp that the Cowboys could be this NFC version of the Bengals, okay? We do have Dak Prescott, who, no, I don't think is as good as Joe Burrow, but the man was playing at a legit MVP level as recently as 2023. And you look at that running back room, headlined by Javonte Williams somehow in the year 2025, and it would just make sense if they are going to keep their foot on the gas in the passing game with a group that, again, is now fairly condensed around CeeDee Lamb and then George Pickens. So that defense was already not exactly great. I mean, they finished 31st in scoring last year, even with Micah Parsons involved for most of the season. So at this point in time, if you want to call them the worst group in the league, particularly with Overshown still working his way back and Trayvon Diggs not exactly 100% either, you know, I would not be against that. So end of the day, I think this Cowboys group could kind of resemble what we saw in the early parts of 2020 before Dak had that horrific broken ankle where, again, every single game's 35-34, 38-35. Probably not going to be great viewing experiences for Cowboys fans, but for all of us red zone viewers and hopefully fantasy managers of the passing game, I think we could be seeing some weekly fireworks.
For sure. Are there any rookies in this class you really like? I thought it was pretty interesting that the Panthers aren't very good, but from a fantasy perspective, Thielen got hot last year and helped me win a title.
He's gone, man.
Yeah, they trade away Thielen. Like, are they that all in on Tet McMillan down there? Like, are rookies around the league that you think really could jump off the page this year?
Yeah, honestly, I'm happy you shouted out Tedrell McMillan, because based on what I've seen just with the ADPs going on with a lot of people's home sites, and I play on all these, you know, too, ESPN, Yahoo, and Sleeper, there really isn't a bigger difference in where we're seeing someone go on the bigger money buy-in sites, you know, that the higher stakes tournaments than Tedder McMillan versus Home League. I mean, this dude is available generally between round 6 through 8. He is an auto smash for me again if we can get him at that price point. Really, that is the sweet spot that I would advise everyone to be trying to get your wide receivers in. Rounds 5 through about 9, guys like George Pickens, Calvin Ridley, Travis Hunter, another rookie, T-Mac amongst others. I mean, Roma Dunze, Debo Samuel even. Like, there ends up being a drop-off around round 10, which is fine. That's when we can go back to quarterback or start getting our handcuffed running backs anyway. So I would say Tedder McMillan, Travis Hunter at the top of the wide receiver ranking, deservedly so for the rookies. And then at running back, obviously, Ashton Jeanty is going to be going round 1, maybe early round 2 in your drafts. Omarion Hampton not too far behind him, but guys, I am also buying into the hype for Ohio State RB Travion Henderson. Ramondre Stevenson is going to be involved. We've seen Josh McDaniels and those Patriots backfields be a little bit annoying over the years in fantasy land, but just everything Henderson can do as a receiver on an offense that, let's face it, outside of old man Stephon Diggs, doesn't exactly have a clear-cut number one target. I just think there's a great chance for Henderson to have this Devon Achane, maybe even Alvin Kamara-esque rookie season where, no, he's not pushing for 250 carries, but hey, if you're playing in a league with full PPR, man, those receptions add up fast. And just over the past 10 years, man, 53% of running backs to catch at least 50 passes have ended up turning in top 12 seasons. So Travion Henderson, if he is there in round 4 for you, I think he's a great click because, man, more drafts that I can, again, exit those first 4 rounds with at least 2 running backs, the better, because then I can really sink my teeth in this wide receiver values.
Tight ends catch as many passes as some of the receivers these days. You go back to you look at any of the tight ends that you want to pick high or not?
Yeah, so I think there's a clear-cut big three, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, and George Kittle. And, hey, if you want to just call them the 3 best tight ends in the league, I don't think you're going to have anyone arguing with you. The problem is everyone knows that, so accordingly you're going to have to use top 3 or a top 4 round pick to get those guys, which, hey, if you look at the wide receivers and the running backs in those tiers, I don't think it's an egregious move at all. But I would just advise people that if you miss out, again, on those big three, Bowers, McBride, and Kittle, don't be afraid to really wait it out because almost similar to quarterback guys, once we get past that clear-cut top tier, it does start to flatten out a bit to the point where I don't really want to be spending a round 5 or 6 pick on Sam Laporta or TJ Hawkinson when I can either get a baller rookie like Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland literally 3 or 4 rounds later, or even someone like Mark Andrews or David Njoku, just kind of the more boring veteran, if you will, that people might be forgetting about. So Andrews really is an interesting one too because we've obviously seen him do such big things in the past in fantasy land. Right now, Isaiah Likely is expecting to miss some time with that foot injury. And just to give Andrews a little bit of credit, as much as last year was a little bit of a step down, he scored a career-high 11 touchdowns, and we should give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt after having that August car crash that kept him out of practice for a bit. So I do think, again, waiting on the tight end position and just being willing to take one of Andrews, you know, Tyler Warren, maybe even Tucker Kraft late, makes a bit more sense than trying to overpay for them in the middle round when there's still some really good wide receivers on the board.
It's funny, two of the rookies you've mentioned, Travion Henderson, B, we got to watch him in person in those joint practices in that preseason game. He looked really good. And then Tyler Warren is a kid I got to know during the combine process. I like both those rookies to like be immediate impact, just kind of to your point, Ian. As I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, you probably have the actual data. I think like the next 5 days now through Wednesday are peak home league draft season. And if you can, I'm reading on your Fantasy Life website kind of your position-by-position strategy. I play in Yahoo League, so I'm looking at that. Mm-hmm. It's really cool how you divide it up by the different websites. But your thoughts on the quarterback position, how people should attack it.
Yeah, honestly, it's pretty similar to what I was talking about with tight ends. Kind of like taking a page out of Ricky Bobby's playbook. First or last, if you want to think about it more like a barbell, that's fine too. But if you are going to be using an early round pick on it, let's use it on a complete difference-making dual threat alien, okay? I'm talking about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, your very own Jaden Daniels, and I also would include Jalen Hurts in that. So we're all in different leagues. Some of them, if you have 5 or 6 point passing touchdowns, I can wrap my mind around Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes early. Also, if you have multiple quarterbacks in your super flex league, yes, okay, you should be spending early. But guys, if I get into round 4, round 5, and those big 4, again, dual threat rushing volume leads are gone, I am more than fine waiting until round 10 plus to get a quarterback because And a lot of these one quarterback leagues, your league mates aren't even going to take a second one in the first place. And you would just be amazed, guys, how many times I'm sitting there around 13 or 14, and you still see the Caleb Williams, the Drake Mays, the Brock Purdy's of the world, where, yeah, I understand ranking them outside the top 12 relative to Bo Nix and Baker Mayfield and guys like that, but I just don't think the difference in overall rounds, again, going three, four, five rounds later sometimes, is quite worth the difference in projections there. So, again, if you want to pay early, that's fine, but when I've been trying to help my friends out throughout this draft season, I just know a lot of people get to round seven, you have your running backs and wide receivers already, and you think, okay, I might as well go ahead and fill out that starting lineup right now and draft a quarterback I like. I'm telling you, wait, because once you get in those double-digit rounds, you're not going to see running backs and wide receivers you like anymore. It's better to already have five or six on the squad by then, and that's when you can sink your teeth into some quarterbacks that, again, still have plenty of upside.
Talking with Ian Harditz from FantasyLife.com. You can check him out at the website FantasyLife.com. You can give him a follow at iHarditz on Twitter. So it's a home league, 12 teams. You know, snake draft, the usual. What do you have to have through the first four rounds? Do you just go all wide receiver, running back, or who are the guys you would change that for?
I would prefer, like, my favorite builds, I have two, maybe even sometimes three running backs inside the first four rounds. So I am willing to, again, dip into those early quarterback or tight end waters if I get to a point in mid, late round three and I don't love the options available. But let's face it, on a lot of these home league sites, you are seeing the Josh Allens and Lamar Jackson of the world going closer to round two. So, again, the big reason for me wanting to have all those running backs, and again, not that you can't take a CeeDee Lamb or a Puka Nacua or, you know, Malik Nabers in rounds one or two, I'm fine with that. But once you do start to kind of get past, I would say, A.J. Brown, Ladd McConkey, and T. Higgins, you have this mixture of older wide receivers and the Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, you know, kind of vein of things. And then also a bunch of Ohio State studs who unfortunately don't have the world's best quarterback situation, with the exception of Scary Terry, of course. So I don't mind waiting on wide receiver just for a little bit, cementing my running back position. And then, guys, once round five comes along, I am content taking sometimes four or even five wide receivers in a row. The George Pickens, Jameson Williams, Calvin Ridley, Tedrell McMillan of the world. Again, it does just become a flatter tier between those low-end wide receiver twos all the way up into kind of that low-end wide receiver 3 points. So if I can really lead the first nine rounds with ideally five wide receivers, two or three running backs, maybe an elite quarterback or tight end, I am really happy with those results more times than not.
I love that. B, I know you hate how the league, the owners, have devalued the running back position, but I imagine you're thrilled. Running backs in fantasy football, hey, not devalued, Brian.
Yeah, I wish fantasy was paying them.
Yo, Ian, this has been great, man. Hopefully we can keep you coming back and giving us guidance as we got to go through the waiver wire and everything else throughout the season.
Hey, anytime, fellas, and good luck to all the listeners out there with the home drafts this weekend. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Right,
I love it, man.
Take care, brother.
I love it. Stop telling people about Travion. I want that to be my secret. So if any of my boys are listening in my leagues,
they're too late.
Travion Henderson sucks.
No, they saw him already.
All right. We had to get some fantasy in because if nothing else, I care about it. We also got to get some golf in because if nothing else, me and Brian dramatically care about it. The Ryder Cup is set. How do we make sense of it? Brendan Porath from the Shotgun Start will join us next. Before we go, though, I'm down at the beach. You know what I could use? A swim spa. It'd be awesome if I could be in the beach and then just chill out in the pool. Maybe my crazy kids would chill out in the pool. That's what these swim spas are, man. They're basically your own little pool. You can heat them up, cool them down, get the jet stream going, get a workout, and now is the time to buy. The Labor Day sale is here at Offenbacher's, and you don't want to miss it. You can save big with huge price reductions on outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. Plus, man, they're giving free financing options. How many places right now can you get free financing? Nowhere. Why stop swimming when the summer ends? Get a swim spa from Offenbacher's. And there's more exciting news. Offenbacher's is now offering saunas. That's right. You can choose an indoor sauna, maybe put in your basement or in a big old closet you don't use. They got outdoor saunas. So if you don't have indoor space, you can have it outside. They also have those infrared ones, which are super dope, get you super hot. You can go check them out in the Annapolis and Herndon showrooms. Make this Labor Day unforgettable. Visit Offenbacher's in Annapolis, Gainesville, Herndon, and Rockville and create the backyard retreat you've always dreamed of.